Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And welcome to Wednesday afternoon. In fact, it's a Wintrust Wednesday here on the Allstate Showcase Studio as we sit along Michigan Avenue. The sun is trying to come out, but man, the people outside, they look cold. It's unfair. It's April. It's not supposed to be this way. Like I said, it's a Wintrust Wednesday. So a little bit later today, we'll talk to Roy Spencer, the founder of Permaseal Basement Systems. You hear Roy quite a lot on Lou Manfredini's show and elsewhere, just won a big award. So I want to talk to Roy about building a small business around loyalty, because that's what he did at Permaseal. So that's coming up later, but we start Wednesdays typically with a visit from Terry Savage, and she joins us on a phone line now. Terry, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Always glad to be here on Wednesdays, and an interesting day it is.
Let's take bets. I think the Dow's going to end in positive territory today.
I doubt it.
No? Well, okay, let's take bets. Let's take bets. Most people are siding with you.
What does a drop in a cup mean?
Well, so the Dow started today with a drop of about 500 points or more than 500 points over this worry about the trade war, the tit-for-tat with China and the U.S. The NASDAQ and S&P last I saw, well, I guess they're all in the red now, but the NASDAQ and S&P had moved into green, the Dow still down. So what do you make of it? I mean, what should we be thinking when we look at this?
Well, it depends on who you are, you know, and that's always the answer. If you like volatility, if you're a trader, this is really your cup of tea. You get a chance to trade the futures, perhaps, or day trade an exchange-traded fund, and volatility is just your game. If you are a young person who just knows that you're supposed to put money in your 401k, my answer, as always, is you might as well make a bet on America, because if America isn't around in 40 or 50 years when you're retiring, your stock market portfolio is going to be the least of your worries. But the people I'm most concerned about now, and I guess maybe it reflects my own stage in life, but it also reflects the people that I think tune into our broadcast, are people who are going, wait a minute, I thought I was set for retirement. I mean, I'm on track. I'm in my late 50s or early 60s. I'm maybe already retired. And, you know, Terry, you always said, buy America. And I have been for, as you know, 5-6 months saying, you had 9 years of a great bull market, take some profits off the table. I decided to actually codify that. I think right now, on any bounce, you should have 3 years of your required minimum distribution in cash, money market, liquid. And that way, if you're forced to take money out in a declining market, you won't be as threatened. It won't be as emotional for you.
So tell me that again. So if you're planning retirement, looking at your retirement, your 401k, whatever you're saying, that you should take 3 years of what you would need and put it in cash?
Yeah. Remember when we used to talk about personal financial planning and you should have 6 months on the side of emergency money just in case you lost your job or something like that? Well, it's hard for the younger generation. I know they can't even buy a house, much less pay off their student loans. But I'm turning that advice on its head for the people who are in the baby boomer generation, I guess I'm talking to, who know that they've made some good money in the stock market, not through genius, just through a bull market of 9 years, and who now know they're coming up upon the time where they have to start withdrawing and coming up with a plan to make their money last as long as they do. For that, you really need some sophisticated financial advice, what they call Monte Carlo analysis. And you can get that from good financial planners, good ones. You can get it at Vanguard, Fidelity, T. Rowe Price. They'll look at what your needs are. They'll look at your assets and give you both an investment and a withdrawal plan that's likely to make your money last as long as you do. But if you're not ready to go through all of that, my simple formula is, you know that your required minimum distribution is, depending on your age, you can look that up, go to any fund company, your total assets in your retirement plan, probably going to have to take out about 1/25th of them when you retire each year, a similar amount. So put away within your plan, in the money market alternative or the cash or the safest alternative, 3 years of those withdrawals. Then you won't have to worry about touching your investments if we catch a period with a sharp decline.
All right, that's looking at it from a distance. I want to get your analysis of things a little more close up. Larry Kudlow today, the incoming trade representative, or not trade representative, but economic advisor, took the job this week, in fact, said, he says, I know that's tough right now, I get that, but he said he thinks that they'll end up with more trade, improved wages for both sides, and what he described as a pot of gold over this whole kerfuffle with China.
You know, I like Larry personally, but I think he's smoking something. He's trying to make the best out of a bad situation and at least have some influence on policy. Look,
well, both sides have said, though, but these things don't kick in until late next month, right? So, I mean, it may well be that this is just a couple of guys trying to scare each other into negotiations.
It may very well be, and in which case it's only bad for stock market investors who get caught wrong. But in general, and we've been, you know, I guess we have years and years and years of history of trusting our presidents in whatever direction that they will follow through. The idea of these restrictions is not only bad for American workers. Think everybody at Boeing. Think of Caterpillar. Think of the soybean farmers in Illinois, the people that raise hogs. The prices of pork are plummeting because of the potential import restrictions from China. But and General Motors, you know, they sell 250,000 cars to China every year, 260,000. Those would have double tariffs on them now, 50% tariffs. So a lot of jobs will be cost in America. And suddenly you're starting to see, and you'll see these stories about what it will cost consumers. Where is your flat screen TV? I've been saying this. Where is that made? Where are your sneakers, your gym shoes made? If all of that has tariffs on it, not to mention your washer and dryer, the big ticket items that you might not buy right now. But if all the things that you buy at places like Walmart or on Amazon suddenly cost more, how does that make consumers better off? So it's not a good thing for the American economy and workers. We happen to have full employment now. We saw that today. Wages aren't going up, but prices are. That's not a good situation.
The employment you talk about, right, is the ADP study comes out. 241,000 jobs created in February, well over the expectations. The government's jobs report comes out on Friday, correct? And we'll see what that says.
Right. But the private sector workers, we're running out of skilled workers. That's a big difference, of course. Our years of misperforming educational system is catching up with us. And companies are having a very difficult time getting visas for skilled workers. Under the guise that, well, we have plenty of unskilled workers here, but they won't do the jobs and aren't equipped to do the jobs that need to be done in our economy. So we can't fix all our problems, but making them worse by trade barriers is just not, it never has been since Smoot-Hawley, a good idea. And finally, the last thing is, you know, the Fed is cutting back on its purchase of treasuries. It's actually selling some. We have a budget deficit. They're going to be borrowing more. If the Chinese decide they're going to retaliate, not by putting tariffs on things like pork and whiskey and whatever it might be, but by deciding they're going to buy fewer of our treasury bills, financing our debt, that'll push rates up and that will slow the economy. So these don't look like good ideas from where I sit, and I think Larry Kudlow is probably, A, hoping the president is just blustering, even though it's pretty dangerous, and B, wishing that things would work out differently than history suggests.
All right, that's Terry Savage. I want you to go to her column, to her webpage, terrysavage.com. She's got a piece up on proxies and voting for proxies for your stocks, 401ks, things like that.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
We'll talk to Frank Senate in the next half hour. Frank from Cranes. And Cranes has an article about Jim Beam and Budweiser teaming up. They're going to come up with a beer aged in bourbon barrels, I guess, as part of it. But before that, a shot in a beer special at your local tavern. So we'll kick that around with Frank. Right now on a phone line is Terry Savage. You can follow her and read her columns at terrysavage.com. Okay, Terry, I think I'm with you on half of your next column. You're talking about increasing diversity in the boardroom, and this involves our votes for proxy. Explain that to me.
You may not think it means much, but if you own shares in your own name, now this is not in your 401k or inside a mutual fund. Companies that are owned inside a 401k plan or mutual funds that are in them, the mutual fund management company votes the proxy. And the proxy really just says, do you approve of these directors we've nominated? do you approve of the company's accounting firm that has been working for us for so many years? And there may be one or two more questions that are on the proxy that shareholders have posed, and the government's required them to put these issues on their proxy. Things like, when I was on the McDonald's board, there were an awful lot about how we fed the animals and concerns for workers and so forth. So those sometimes are included in the proxy. Now, what's been interesting is that, first of all, it matters that you vote. So if you own your shares, they either send you a letter with a form, or you can vote online, which is more typical.
Wait a minute.
Shareholders should vote.
It's very hard to be an informed voter when you're voting for in these proxies. So are you saying we should research and vote, or we should just vote for the proxy?
Typically you want to vote for the company, but every once in a while you'll get what's called a proxy contest where a dissident shareholder has put up a different slate of directors. Then you do some research. But the interesting thing is, there's sort of like fads and fashion about what shareholder activists try to put on proxy statements. And the big one last year and this year especially is to vote for diversity in not only the company's executive offices, but where you can vote is for the board of directors. It got a big push this year when New York's Common Fund, which is their state common pension fund with hundreds of billions in assets, announced it would not vote in favor of the reelection of all directors at any U.S. company that did not have at least one woman on the board. And surprisingly, in the list of major companies, there is a significant number that don't have a woman. Most shocking to me, because I'm wearing them right now, is Skechers. And, look at all the women that wear Skechers. Can they possibly have a corporate board that doesn't have one woman? Minorities is another issue, but with corporate board, on average, about 20% are women, fewer minorities. And now there's suddenly an idea that how can you run a company that, actually, directors don't run the company, but how can you set strategic direction for a company, that's a director's job, if you don't even see the vast swaths of the community you serve, either your...
All right, I get all that. I'm with you on that, but what does that have to do with me voting for proxy? Do I vote against the proxy if there are no women?
You take a look and say, gee, this company's done well, the stock price is up, I'm going to vote. I'll just put X for all directors and X for the accounting firm and see what they recommend on other issues that might be on board. And just vote. It matters that you vote. Your 100 shares or 500 shares might not mean that much, but it's a good habit to get into. But take a look at the proxy. Are there women on the board? Is there another issue that you want to express your opinion on? Don't just throw that stuff in the trash or delete it from your mail if it's coming to you online. This is the season to vote.
All right, so we'll do that. And you explained that more fully at terrysavage.com, so check that out. Terry, I have a feeling you're in warmer weather than we are.
And I'm not coming back until I can walk down the street without a coat and a scarf.
We'll see you in July then. It was nice to talk to you.
See you next week.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we are coming up on 12:37 in the Allstate Showcase Studio on this Wednesday afternoon. A little bit later in the program on this Wintrust Wednesday, we'll talk to Roy Spencer. He's the guy behind PermaSeal Basement Systems, and we'll talk to him about the value of customer loyalty. He just got a big award from the Better Business Bureau, in part because of the work he did improving customer loyalty. In fact, I think that's kind of what got him started in the first place. So we'll talk to Roy a little bit later in the program. Right now, we say hello to Frank Sennett from Crane Chicago Business. I don't know if he has a mug of beer or a shot of whiskey, bourbon in his hand, but I'm betting on one or the other. Frank, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you, Steve. We're a shot in the beer town, but, maybe a little early for me.
I love this story by E.J. Schultz in Cranes at chicagobusiness.com about Budweiser and Jim Beam teaming up, because it's a kind of a funny... it's not a funny marriage, but it's an interesting marriage in that each will get something from the other, and maybe not what you'd altogether expect. But these two companies now are partnering on a beer in the future, but a shot in a beer right now. Explain that shot in a beer for me.
Yeah, so Budweiser and Beam are teaming up to create a limited edition brew called Reserve Copper Lager. And the difference between it and regular Bud is that we'll be aged with Jim Beam bourbon barrel staves. And this is something that craft brewers have done, you know, aging in bourbon barrels. We've got Goose Island with Bourbon County Stout, and owned by the same company as Budweiser. So, you know, they decided to, you know, jump into this with one of the biggest bourbon producers. So that's going to come out this fall. And before that, they're going to kick off a marketing campaign, a beer and a bourbon shot, you know, which is certainly comfortable for Chicago, because that's kind of been the official drink around here for many decades.
That's what you get it at the bottles and cans bars, right? You go and you belly up and you get a shot and a beer.
That's right. That's right. So it should be a very comfortable fit. It is going to be something that could be more of a trend. I mean, we're seeing Corona Maker, Constellation Brands, is partnering with a brand, High West Distillery, that they acquired in 2016 for a kind of a similar bourbon barrel aging. So this could be the next trend in beer.
Well, so, you know, obviously the big beer is being challenged by the craft breweries, but I would imagine big bourbon is being challenged as well. I know Jim Beam sales have been going up, but people are looking more and more at craft distilleries too. So for Bud, I get it. Jim Beam is going up. For them to partner with it, it's good to get a bigger audience. What does Jim Beam get out of partnering with Budweiser?
Well, I think you get a huge amplifier with, you know, Bud is one of the premier marketing firms in the country, as well as a beer maker. So I think to, you know, get that mass market advertising boost has got to be good for Beam. Their sales were up 6.5% last year across all varieties. They really do a tremendous amount of new product introductions, different flavors in their bourbons, different kinds of expressions of craft, small batch bourbons. And they were one of the first companies to really jump into the whole small batch scene with Booker's and Blanton's and all that, Knob Creek. And so they're just known for rolling out new varieties and new partnerships like this every year. So I think Beam is just you know, really happy to get in with a partner with this big of a megaphone.
And it seems like Beam too is a company that has sort of a nimble, fun marketing department, right? Aren't they? They've come out with smart speakers, right, where people talk about mixing a perfect drink and things like that. Do you recall that? I remember talking about that last year.
Just kind of
as a joke.
Absolutely. Right, absolutely, and they are known for, you know, doing a lot of fun activations, and now that they're, you know, focusing really on Chicago as one of their primary markets because they're headquartered here, there are going to be a lot more fun Beam things happening at bars over the coming years.
All right. As I look at this story by Steve Daniels, State Farm lost $2.8 billion last year in car insurance. It lost $7 billion in 2016 in car insurance, and it's cutting its rates in 2018.
Yeah, it's a little counterintuitive. Auto rates, so it's one in three drivers in Illinois. So if you're listening right now, probably a third of you are going to like this news. They're cutting their rates by 3% almost, effective May 7th. And this is after, you know, several years of losses, as you note, and also increases from 2014 to 2016. Insurance costs boosted by State Farm on average by 11.6% in Illinois. So this really is counterintuitive in a lot of ways. Other insurers so far have not followed suit. Geico is the only other company that's so far announced a rate change, and they've actually raised their rate a little bit, about 5%. And so the thought is, and this wasn't part of the announcement, the thought is this tax cut has been a big boon for car insurer or for insurance companies, and the thought is they might be getting such a windfall that this is allowing them to cut the rate.
Well, that'd be a pretty dramatic windfall if they're losing, if they lost $7 billion on car insurance last year, and they're able to give a break this year, all because of the tax cut. That's a big chunk.
Yeah, well, $2.8 billion last year and $7 billion the year before.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And maybe it's a market share play to a certain extent. I mean, certainly you've got all the insurers in the state raising their rates over the last several years. Some of the high is 22%. That was Geico. And so maybe they're saying, well, maybe we can cut rates a little bit. We're cushioned by the tax advantages that we're seeing, and we can gobble up some more market share.
All right. Well, good for them. And that's nice to hear. It's always good to see insurance rates going down. I really didn't realize that was possible.
Yeah, right. I haven't seen it lately.
There's one more story I want to talk to you about. Greg Hines has a piece on Michael Madigan. I happen to be talking to State Representative Will Guzzardi, who's a Democrat. I don't know if he's a Madigan Democrat. I wouldn't put him in that camp. But we were talking about Mike Madigan's chances of being reelected as party chairman. And he seemed to agree with what Greg Hines writes, that it's pretty much a done deal.
Yeah, so earlier in the season, during the primaries, we had two Democratic candidates who were calling for Madigan to step down as party chair. Well, the third guy, J.B. Pritzker, was the one who won, so Madigan's in the clear there. Every ad, it seemed like, you know, that was against the Democrats indicted Madigan. It just seemed like a real anti-Madigan feeling. Now it just seems like he's going to coast to reelection as the state party chair. Again, the gubernatorial candidate is not opposed to him, and the people that were bandied as possible successors are not interested in running.
Yeah,
he's reached out for their support.
Well, that's interesting to me, Frank.
It's going to be smooth.
That's what's interesting to me, is that he was so worried that South Side and South Suburban Congresswoman Robin Kelly might run, that he reached out to her not after the election, sort of to win her support or to gauge her interest, or it just strikes me that he was a little concerned about that.
Yeah, so Greg Hines' source said that he called Kelly right after the primary and asked for her support, but he also reportedly claimed that he already has enough votes locked up to win. So it's kind of like, hey, can I have your support? And if I don't get it, it's going to be, you know, a done deal anyway.
At least for
this next cycle, he seems to have it locked up again.
His spokesman is Steve Brown. I love Steve. He says, look, he thinks he's created good leadership for the party. Why leave? So we'll see more of Mike Madigan in the future. Frank Sennett, thanks for coming by today.
Thank you, Steve.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. Remember when Steve Bertrand talked with Emily Church from the global innovation competition XPRIZE? Well, Chicago's Skydra is a finalist in their $1.75 million Water Abundance Prize. The Chicago team is trying to further their product that has the capability of producing 2,000 liters of water per day for less than 2 cents per liter. But where are they sourcing this water? From the atmosphere. This is the out-of-the-box thinking that is exactly what the XPRIZE looks for when the competitors strive to change the world. However, another global innovator is taking a step back. As Uber shuts down Uber Rush, the package delivery service available in Manhattan, San Francisco, and Chicago, a company spokesperson said, for now, they're focusing their efforts on bettering Uber Eats. It's vital to know when to reach for the stars and when to pull back on your dreams. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And it is 12:52 on this Wednesday afternoon. It's a Wintrust Wednesday. We'd like to take this segment to focus on businesses, small businesses or others, and talk about some of the principles behind them. And today we're joined on a phone line by Roy Spencer, the founder of PermaSeal Basement Systems, certainly a common and welcome name here on WGN Radio. Roy, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hey, thank you, Steve. I'm a big fan of your program.
I'm a big fan of your work, because every time I walk down in my basement, I think of Roy Spencer with a smile.
There you go.
Tell me a little bit. I wanted to sort of pick your brain about customer loyalty and the value that that has, because sometimes garnering customer loyalty comes with a cost, right? I mean, you can do it cheaper and sort of run over your customers at less expense, but the money you spend or the time you spend in fostering good relationships can really pay off.
Well, yeah, I decided years ago, I mean, many years ago, when I first started this business, I can remember having a conversation with myself, and there was an opportunity during a rainstorm. We were very busy, and I could have rushed through a job. I was doing the work myself at the time, and I rushed through the job, and knowing that, well, it might not last, and I'd have to come back and revisit it. And I said, you know, Roy, what if we're still in business, you know, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years, 20 years from now? And I decided then, you know what, I'm just going to act that way. And so that's how we made our decisions all along, is that we're going to be in business a long time, and really in perpetuity is our goal. But and so then you make different kinds of decisions, especially when it involves, you know, your customer service and things like that, because you know, quite frankly, I want customers for life, and it's worked out that way so far. 39 years, I still have customers that can repeat customers that I did myself 39 years ago.
It's 39 years, so we'll see how it works out for you.
Yeah, it's a good start.
But tell me about that then, because, you know, I was a customer of yours, and you worked on my basement, waterproofed my basement, and if all goes well, I might never be a repeat customer to you, right? I mean, what percentage of your customers are repeat customers?
Oh, you know, actually, I couldn't give you a definite number on that, but what I can tell you is about 60% of our customers are referrals.
Well, right.
They come from previous customers and people we've done work for and things like that. But and we a lot of times the good portion of our work, we give a lifetime warranty that's transferable with the house. And that's key because, Steve, you may or may not live in your house all your years. The average person, you know, sells their house every 7 years or something, which gives us an opportunity to, you know, have a new customer, you know, when you sell the house or even if you pass on and somebody else owns your house. You know, we want a relationship with our customers for life, and so we have an opportunity to establish a relationship with new people.
Well, in a way, that's sort of what I was getting at. So if you're running a car dealership, you offer great service to the people buying your car with the hope that they're going to buy their next car from you. That's not really the way it would work in your business. You're after more sort of recommendations, right, and customer goodwill when it comes to finding other customers.
Yeah, and like I said, you may buy another house and, you know, you'll call us for, you know, the next house, and that happens too. But, you know, the thing with PermaSeal and our company, we're an innovative company. We continue to expand our products and services. So we have services like now, just last couple of years, we started doing concrete raising. And that's something we never offered before. It's not something we were doing. And so, you know, all our existing customers, you know, they have an opportunity.
Right.
Oh, PermaSeal does that now. Yeah, we like this company. We're going to, you know, so even with our companies, we waterproofed your whole basement and you're all good there. You may have other, we may have other products and services that you're interested in the future. So we get repeat business that way.
I had to mention, too, that you just were the recipient of the James E. Baumhart Lifetime Achievement Award at the Better Business Bureau in part for all of this. I'm laughing a little bit because I did exactly that with your company. I didn't think of it until you started talking, but my backyard floods now. So I actually called PermaSeal and said, hey, can you help with a flooded backyard? Turns out it's not in your wheelhouse, but it's the sort of thing where I thought, well, maybe this company that's worked for me in the past can work for me in the future. Okay, so that's your business. This is about other businesses too. Tell me, or what is your advice to someone starting a business right now who, you know, might need to watch every nickel? Why is it that spending those nickels on customer service, or maybe not bringing in as many nickels in the pursuit of customer service, will pay off for them down the road?
Well, just that. I mean, you know, the cost of, you know, obtaining a new customer is very expensive. The cost of retaining an existing one is relatively inexpensive. So, again, it's, you know, if you make that decision that you're going to be in business for the long term, it totally changes, you know, decisions you make and things like that. And especially when it comes to customer service, because, you know, I love advertising on WGN and other places. But it's expensive, okay? And whereas word
of mouth advertising, Roy. It's a bargain.
Yeah, I know. Of course it is. But nevertheless, not compared with free advertising, which comes from referrals, which is actually, you know, the strongest advertising you can get. So if people would think of it that way, they're investing in their advertising or marketing program by providing great wow customer service, then it's you know, it becomes more obtainable on the balance sheet.
Roy Spencer, the founder of PermaSeal Basement Systems. It was great to talk to you. I look forward to the next time, Roy.
Thank you, Steve.